so unacknowledged wonders of the world. You are about to witness the eighth.
Your attention, everyone.
All this is regrettable, but there's no cause for alarm.
That's right. Back with the Regrettable Podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Massey. Of course, with me, both excellent co-hosts, the legendary Jay Lindley. How are you, sir?
What's up, homie?
And, of course, my brother, Patrick Massey. That's what they used to call him. And,
yep. Most regrettable.
This episode is brought to you by one of my favorite people ever. It's Laura Lindley, attorney at law in downtown Dequeen, licensed in Arkansas and Oklahoma. She can handle many of your legal needs, divorce, custody, land deeds, you name it. And if she can't perform the legal task you need, she will refer you to the best person for the job. Give her a call today at 870-642-4462 or stop by. She's on the north side of the courthouse, on the square in historic downtown Dequeen. Utilize her 20-plus years of experience and you will never look back. A huge thanks to all the support she gives us for sponsoring Regrettable. It's Laura Lindley, attorney at law.
We'll make it happen as soon as it happens with the Twitch Book Live.
Twitch Book Live?
Yeah, we go Twitch Book Live. Soaring Sorrow, our number one listener / viewer on Twitch Book Live. Yeah, no sense in mentioning the episode numbers until we're at like maybe 99. I think 99 would be a good one to, you know, 69.
It could have been 100. But, yeah. 69. But yeah. 99 is good because it could have been 100, but then there was that week we didn't do it, so we didn't feel like it.
And then we'll never, and then we quit before the 100.
Right. Yeah. I like that you guys did mention, like, don't know what we're talking about today earlier, which we usually have an idea of what we're going to talk about. It's just we don't know anything about those topics.
Right.
We don't know what we know what we're talking about. We just don't know what we're talking about.
Right. Like sitting here looking at Russia versus Ukraine cage match.
Yes.
You know, I don't really know exactly.
This Sunday in the Donbass.
What's this world coming to? Yeah, we got Russia versus Ukraine. We got Bro Jogan versus Neil Young.
Oh, goodness.
Yil Nung.
And Bro Jogan.
Yeah. Me versus my baby.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
No kidding.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. You got some baby stuff. You just went for the last sononogram yesterday.
The
sonographer.
It sounds like something that would like knock on your door and then they present you the pictures of your baby that you didn't know that they took.
But, right.
That was this week, last sonogram of the littlin'. She's like a full, like a human, like a full adult pretty much in there now, like a head of hair, a little bit of a mustache already.
Smoking,
you know?
Drinking.
Yeah, right.
Already. Big cigar and a cup of, you know, aged bourbon in there.
Yeah. Freddie said her first cuss word.
Yeah.
But yeah, they've warned us it's going to be like a 10. She's going to it. That's it. Yeah. Until I can see it, it is still it.
It's
you
just,
know?
You don't even really know it's there.
Yeah, I mean, well, and the sex and stuff too. I mean, look at those pictures. I just that lady's just pretending to know.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that I could tell out was the spine. I will say it's a damn fine spine.
Oh, okay.
Awesome.
Nice strong spine.
Very strong. It was all there. You know,
perfect S-curve.
Yeah, it was like 33 vertebrae and all that.
Yeah.
It was like, everything accounted for.
Just a marvel of human biological.
For me, I mean, come on.
She'll be the iron spine.
Yeah.
I like that.
Nice butt. Got a nice butt on her.
All right, you should want a bad one. Right?
Yeah, that goes against what you as father need. Yes.
Definitely. I don't know. My biggest fear is, and Caitlin says I got to stop saying this, but not like she listens. So it's my biggest fear, the ugly baby. I see a lot of ugly babies. Just be ashamed of an ugly baby. I mean, they get cuter or whatever, but if you don't see pictures of the baby on my Facebook page the day or whatever that she's born, that's why. Okay.
Yeah. Like one eye way higher than the other and big flappy ears
hey
and
you
like.
Guys.
Yeah, looking like that thing from the Goonies.
There was, I had a friend who recently had another one, and I don't know if it went in one, if it went out the wrong way or what, but the head was real squished. This thing had like a furrowed brow. I don't know, boy or girl.
Gordon Ramsay forehead.
Yes. Yeah. It was like Gordon Ramsay meets the Hunchback. And
Gordon Ramsay meets some other big-faced British weirdo.
That's like all of them over there.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so, but it's going to be a 10-month baby. which, as I've told you all a couple of times now, I'm kind of excited about that because that also means less of a newborn stage. Right. You know, the longer that she stays in the baby's belly, the less keeping us up at night that they'll be, you know.
Comes out like a toddler.
Yeah.
Yeah. Applying for college, you know, first thing she does. Yeah, I'm down with that.
Yeah, not bad.
So, yeah, there's that.
But they're going to induce it, right? They're going to... Whatever they do, like drop an anvil on her or something. And
I don't know. The C-section is still in the picture, the I guess.
Why wouldn't you do that?
Yeah, I know.
You know. She's going to do that, right? Or no?
Was there any pre-existing conditions for her to deliver naturally? A would be the question.
No, but now both her mom and sister both did a cesarean. So
maybe
there's
a cervical
that
issue, possibly something.
Yeah,
like
you
that.
Know, gotcha. The doctor's like keeping all the options on the table. You know, she's like that. Don't worry about that right now. We'll figure that out as the time comes. Your body's going to present signs that I'm not going to mention right now because I don't want to get all queasy on air. But there's signs that'll appear and know that we can tell then. Whether you're going to do this naturally, whether it's going to in an induction ceremony or
could you imagine just
cut your belly open and rip it out.
Baby in you can't get out. Like just having a shit that you can't take
for no doubt.
Months.
No
get
doubt.
Out.
And at this point, I mean, there's a whole baby. She could come out right now. She could come out yesterday or a week ago or something, you know.
Right.
There's a whole baby in there and ain't no room. You know?
I figure Caitlin would be way bigger. I don't know. I don't know why. The baby belly, I always imagined, like, at the very end, especially, it, like, gets really big or something. I don't know what the hell's wrong
with
it.
It's a certain angle. When she lays down, you know, it's like, you know, I got a belly, but when I lay down, it kind of sinks down or whatever with her with
looking
the baby.
Good.
I know. I just have to lay down, you know. But, like, it pushes up for her. So, like, yesterday, she was getting the sonogram done. Her whole belly was exposed. I'm like...
Dang.
Better make sure it ain't like two or three kids in there, you know.
It's a crazy dinosaur egg you got there.
Yeah. But I'm oh my gosh, we're like so not ready at the same time. Even though like procrastinating everything, you know. There's still like a Lego scattered all throughout of my house, just firearms laying around, you know.
Again, exposed those are wires. Things, you know, you don't have to really start worrying about until she starts crawling
and
getting around.
Right. Yeah, that's very true. Very true.
So. Exposed wire could be fun for the baby.
Exactly.
A little shock.
Wake you up.
Yeah.
Wake up.
That's right. Well, I'm excited, man. Uncle time. You know, I'll see her when she's born, and then I'll wait until later.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, 4 or 5 years or something. I'm good.
Right.
It'll just be so weird. I was thinking, just you knocking on my door, just like, you know, smoking a Black and Mild or something, just like, I just can't do it. You know, like, just really kind of, you know, strung out and upset. I don't know why.
Your fear should be like knocking on your door and a baby like, hey, can you just watch her for 10 minutes? Yeah. And then, you know, 10 years later, still don't know whatever happened to Patrick.
Yeah. It will be weird, man. This will be the weird first baby I've ever held. I've never held a baby.
Damn. And so there's three of us. Now, we have a half-brother who had a kid a couple of years ago. So there's that. But of the three of the close family, this is the first baby that's kind of entered the mix, you know? So our mom's first real grandbaby. So there's that.
I wouldn't hold that half-baby either.
No.
Stupid half-baby.
Half-baby.
I like half of it, but I don't know.
Yeah, the other half's like horse. Half horse, half baby.
Centaur. That'd be awesome.
Right? Then you would be like, that's my nephew. Or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
She comes out kicking. It's big hooves. Look how big it's going to be.
But I suppose that's the big thing in my life right now.
Yeah.
A baby coming. Yeah. I guess that's pretty big. People keep telling me, you know, that it's supposed to mean something.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's going to change your life. And I've heard that before.
Doesn't necessarily, not until later, right?
Yeah, I mean, no, I think there will be changes that come immediately, but when people explain it, they tend to over-explain it, so therefore it seems so daunting.
Yeah.
But when you're in the moment, it's just life. It's still just happening.
And you should
you adapt.
You should listen to this man because he got roundhouse smacked, back smacked with twins.
Boom.
Oh, you thought you were broke. You're twice as broke now.
Bing bong.
That's right.
So
yeah.
So he had to adjust quick.
Right?
Yeah.
It was a learning curve, but
funny budgeting for one kid when you have two. Then it's like one of them's naked all the time.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's like where you wear your siblings' clothes tomorrow that they're wearing today.
You're wearing the bottoms. You're wearing the tops today.
Yeah,
stay warm.
Yeah,
two babies, no money. Yeah. Let's do it.
Share the blanket. Who, which one's the stronger baby? Yeah. You get the blanket. Yeah.
Survival of the fittest in the Lindley household.
Now you got one that's in the Marine Corps, and then the other one, I'd still put my money on her.
Yeah,
over
I'm telling you. Yeah. And I got to see them two interact in Hawaii this past week, and she still likes to run the brother sisterhood there.
Yeah,
for sure.
Which one was first?
Jay Jr. by one minute exactly.
1 minute.
Wow. Yep. She used to be like, drop and give me 20. And he's like, yes, ma'am.
Yes,
yes, sir, ma'am.
Sir, ma'am.
But no, he's very opinionated. I don't know if it's the Marines or if it's being my son, but he's very opinionated. So
does not share those views.
And not all of them. Yeah, they have some that they do, some that they don't. So they clash as much as they agree.
I'm not going to tell you again. My favorite color is yellow. Yeah. Okay.
I did get to... rub it in a little bit, though. We were talking about how much the sun is good for you, and there to an extent, it's very good for you. But if you get it in too much of a dose at one time, it's called burning or damage of the skin.
Yes.
And was
cooking
as I was plastering the aloe vera lotion on his back. He was like, "Thanks, Dad." I do know a couple of things.
Give him a little kiss on his forehead.
So the trip to paradise was decent.
It was fun. I had a blast. I getting to see Jay Jr. was the best part.
Yeah.
Getting to bring Julia along so she could see her twin after. Almost 2 years and not. That's cool too.
Yeah.
So
Brant made it into the show notes of the last episode.
Yes.
Brant?
That's his name. Yeah.
Brant.
Oh yeah.
I was just starting to like the guy.
Handsome looking, tall dude.
Just ridiculous. Yeah, crazy. It makes me sick.
It does. Yeah, absolutely. He's way too handsome and quiet and polite and the whole nine. It's like, it's eerie. I figure an alien is actually inhabiting his body. You know what I mean? No.
Yeah. And he's in Hawaii. With the Hawaii sun and the seawater off dripping off of him in those pictures, I was like, "What in the world? This guy should be with Aeropostale or something like
that." Yes, exactly.
Tyler just wants his phone number. If it doesn't work out with Julia,
exactly. A few tips,
right? Well, one cool tip I got from him though while we were in Hawaii, because Hawaii makes you carry your vaccination card and your ID with you pretty much everywhere you go. But if you haven't been vaccinated, you have to have within 48 hours, a negative COVID test to show.
Hmm.
And they were charging those that weren't natives, we'll just put it that way, to the island or, citizens of the island. They're charging them arm and a leg up to a couple $100.
How are you going to gouge for a COVID test?
I know. These people take any opportunity to make a penny. Yes. All right.
So we were figuring out, we're like, oh, man, we want to be able to do stuff for the rest of the time we're here. Yeah. So he had the bright idea. So he's an architect. He's at OU for his architectural degree or whatever. And
I hate this guy. The more you talk, more you talk about him.
But he had the idea to go ahead and just go on the iPad and alter the date.
Crazy.
And it worked. I mean,
A federal felony.
Handsome, smart, and good with subterfuge.
Yeah.
Julia scored one.
She did.
Yeah.
And
tall too, right? He's taller than you.
It's like,
right?
Hey, careful, he's going to fake the marriage license one day.
Right? Exactly.
The psych was not legally binding.
Right. Well, he would need that with her mom.
I am not the father.
Exactly. Laura, take care of business.
That's right.
Well, speaking of kids, I just want to give you a shout out, Jalen. I mean, you've raised very good kids.
You're
proud of every single one of them, and you should be. And you give the best advice, which is just like, you'll figure it out.
Yeah.
That is as much advice as you got, and it's the most salient advice. Have a couple of longtime couple friends, probably our best couple friends, known them for over a decade, and they have two kids, and every time we hang out with them, all it is this, like, I got to get a notepad to write all this crap down, and it all starts so innocently, it's just like, oh, well, you want to spend some time with the baby, and it's like, oh, okay, that's a good suggestion, and then, like, you want this in your go bag, you're going to want to do this is the exact soap you're going to want to buy, this, and... it's 6 hours later, they're still barking stuff at you, and it's like, you lost me after the first suggestion. I mean, I mean, like, this is not just a math formula, right? I mean, how to raise what you think's a good kid. So just settle down a little bit. Yeah.
If, like, a political ideology would be a father, you'd be the libertarian.
There you go.
Like, just kind of like no intervention. Yeah. Just let him go. And then you got the helicopter parents, definitely liberal. And then the loud, angry, beating kids, I think, would go to the conservative side.
Yeah. You know, like, you want to test them for the autism spectrum at this point. Yeah. Do the swallow test on them and test their saliva for venom or I don't know, whatever. Whatever else.
Yeah. And then on the other side, it's like, he put on your shoes, mama. Like, you know. I don't want to
beat the gay out of him.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. I don't want to bleep anything.
I love it. I love it. Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah. And Jay Lindley's just like, one way or the other, you'll figure it out.
You got to kind of, that's what I figure. You got to let
too much intervention.
Yes. Right. Right.
My parents were very strict. Very strict at church every Sunday.
Yeah.
So I like to think that I rebelled so hard as soon as I could. I was like, hey, you ain't telling me nothing no more, suckers. But then I come crawling back. So I figure in this moment, maybe I can just be like, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
I can be supportive, yet let them do their own thing. And when they do fall, sometimes I can help them back. You know what I mean? But I don't have to be like, I'm here if you need me.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
You got them on their way like you'd place a paper boat onto a river.
Yeah.
Just...
Yeah, and you kind of you mark the channel for them, right? Mm-hmm. You know, let them know what the difference between right and wrong. That's a pretty easy concept at the end of the day.
Yep.
We're hardwired to know what's right and what's wrong.
Or even help them say, hey, see, at this bend, I noticed this. If you want to take that, maybe you do it. If you don't, you'll figure it out on your own.
Yeah.
And if they
crash
into
the bank.
Exactly. If they crash a couple times, they'll have to figure out how to fix it.
You're there to fish the kayak out and all these stupid metaphors.
I was running out of them. So
I like water ones, though. I love the water.
Water ones,
Parenting is like a cruise ship, okay?
Life is like a river. That
flowing
river.
But way better than baseball metaphors.
Actually, Michio Kaku is not allowed back on the podcast.
No. We kicked him off, dude. He stinks.
Canceled.
He's canceled.
Yeah, no doubt.
Speaking of canceled, man, Bro Jogan, like we just brought up, Joe Brogan got the Neil Young's endorsement for cancellation. That's serious stuff, you know. But if you're looking
Neil Young was dead.
Yeah, me too. The thing is, I don't understand. Like you brought it, we talked about this a little bit. Neil Young, I just don't think he has as much pull with the newer crowd. Like, I can't imagine you have the Spotify app and you listen to Neil Young.
Yeah. Right. It's not like BTS is pulling their music.
Yeah, you know exactly.
I mean? That would be a huge deal spins on Spotify.
Right, right. It's like Bob Dylan's not going to want his music on Sony anymore unless Joe Rogan. Okay. Mr. Tambourine Man, I'll live without it. You know?
Kid Rock held out as long as he was relevant.
I feel like Kid Rock would have more pulling his music off because everybody knows that one cover or whatever, right?
I'm a cowboy.
You still can't get Garth Brooks stuff on iTunes and those.
He refuses?
I think he just does, still does hard copy stuff, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe he has his own downloadable stuff now.
No wonder. I see all of it just racking up at the Best Buy. You ever take a cruise through the Best Buy CD section? It's like, uncovering like the Lost Ark or something.
Yeah.
Everybody that does anything still has to put out a hard copy because what are they going to burn or run over when they do cancel you?
That's right.
You
that's right. I mean? Yeah.
They got to have something. Oh, CD, break it now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Exactly. My t-shirt. Dang, I paid $50 for that. Exactly.
People have been burning Carhartt. Right? Carhartt did something where they endorsed masks or something. You can make a Carhartt mask. Yeah, I can't breathe through that thing. It's canvas.
Well, Carhartt, that is all the foul. These people like dressing like they work hard when they ain't nobody working
hard. That's right.
That's a good point.
And it's always there, guys. It's Brandt. In a Carhartt jacket that's never seen a drop of motor oil on it or anything, you know, tractor grease, nothing.
Well, and true.
Yeah.
Never got a scratch on his hands.
We were talking about that with Jay Jr. He was talking about being handy. Like Patrick, I would say Patrick's very handy. Mm-hmm. He does a lot of, you know, remodeling stuff on his own. He does flooring.
Big hands.
I'm cheap.
Yeah.
But we were talking about that being, you know, a good male thing to have is being handy, and I was like, man, as the more I think about what it takes to be handy, the less handy I realize I am.
Big time.
Really. I mean, I can YouTube something and do it, but I don't count that as handy. At this point in my life, I guess I figure I should have had, you know, 15 years of already knowing how to do it to be handy.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I still find if you're willing to watch the video and you can replicate the end process from watching a video, you're handy with it. You know, it's what you're doing is you're taking.
I'll take
your dad should have taught you this stuff.
Yeah,
right. True. And maybe he taught you different things.
He did
or,
teach me some, like change the oil. Changed a couple of alternators with
him. Yeah, there you go. I mean? Absolutely.
So I used that knowledge he gave me, applied it to the YouTube video of turning the, you know, screwdriver this way or that way.
And then, at least you had a foundation. Like, I think I'm handy in, despite my dad.
Yeah.
You know, not in spite of him, just despite him because he laid no foundation for anything like that. We've talked before. I played football with him one time, and he broke his ankle doing it. When he played football with Tyler one time, and he
tore his ACL.
Yeah, and that was it. That was as far as, like, man and son, you know, of the father son bonding experience. There was nothing. I was in trouble once, and I cleaned a radiator for a car that I don't even think he owned. But that was my punishment, was to clean it, and that was it. I mean, there was never, you know, let me teach you how to hunt, son, or how to tie a fishing line or anything. Like, I mean, if those things happen, they were so minute and remote and happened
you don't
one
remember
time.
Them.
So YouTube's my daddy is what I'm trying to say.
You guys were talking about midlife crises the other day. I was like, when I go through one, maybe I'll become handy. Maybe that's what the thing I'll do is. Although the other day it was probably about a month ago, though, I fixed my ceiling fan. I did do that.
Okay.
The drawstring, it was locked up.
Ooh.
And I was like, oh, man, that thing, like, it just had no give to it. It was just taut and wouldn't do it anymore. So in the darkness, because that was for the light, I had to put on my headlamp and didn't get to the electrical stuff. It wasn't in that.
Yeah.
It was at the bottom of the fixture, unscrewed that, and then found this like plastic thing that I couldn't see into, but that's what the drawstring went through, and it was like caught up in there. And I, you know, in the dark, like grabbed that beautiful pick that a lot of mechanics carry. I have a bunch of those. Grabbed that and got it in there and was like, it was like I was trying to pick a lock. And I just hit one little plastic thing and it it drew back up into it. And I was like,
nice.
Hey, look at that.
I feel good.
Yeah. I screwed it back in. And
When I bought a house, like, I realized I was going to have to be handy one way or another, especially like outside of city limits, you know, not that I live out in the country or anything, but again, a lot of property.
You live in the
things.
Country of the country.
Like,
we're currently in the country, technically,
technically.
But we're like city boy right now.
He lives
outside of that.
Yeah, and an older house too that needed some renovations to it. It's like, yeah, sure, I could spend just as much as I pay for the house to have other people come do it, or I can spend half that and do it myself. I guess
Right.
So that comes at every at some point in man's life that opportunity might arise to be handy.
Right.
I wasn't always handy.
You did the floors good, but at the end of it, the amount of stress and everything that happened, I feel like it would have been worth it to just have somebody else do them.
Yeah, maybe.
You know,
because I had to do them twice.
Exactly. That was a huge. I remember that. I remember going in. So basically, there was an accident, and a lot of water got under the floors, and he had to rip them all up. And I was standing there, and I was like, do you guys want me to leave, or should I come back? Because I could just feel, like, the air of the marriage.
Well, it was like, I got done with them, and then the next day, Caitlin decides to flood the house. So, you know, it was very, my sense of victory was very short-lived.
Yes. He got it back all up, and got it back all down.
Quicker the second time, I'll tell you that.
And you look at, that may have been a blessing in disguise, because let's say you paid for somebody to do it the first time. You wouldn't have had the knowledge, and you would have been out the money. Immediately got damaged, and they'd be like, hey, not our fault.
Absolutely.
We did our job.
Right.
And then you would have had to do it again anyway. It would have been the first time you did it, so it would have taken longer.
But all the seals and trim and everything would have been locked in and solid. The only reason it leaked through is because that little part was exposed.
It would have leaked through that anyways.
All right.
It'll leak
I believe you.
Walls leak. You know, it would just gone under the wall instead.
Yeah.
But,
Yeah, that was a rough time, but you got it done, man.
Done. And I'm still terrified every day that I turn my washing machine on.
Yeah,
it's going to happen again. So.
Yeah, you got to like shore up that little seal or something like that.
Put the washing machine on a rubber.
Yeah, yeah.
A rubber mat.
Oh, same thing you did with the...
water
with
heater.
The water heater. Yep. You should do that. Yep. There you go. Yep. All right, fixing nice. It live here on there the, you go. The podcast.
Boy, kids. Yeah.
Go to Bailey Disney. No, I'm kidding. Yeah.
And then owning a 2004 Land Rover definitely taught me to be more handy with vehicles as well. The first thing I did.
And leaks.
Yeah, yep, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Because you know what you call a Land Rover that don't leak?
Empty.
Empty. Yeah.
You learn it. You do mind funny. If I took that from you?
No, that's okay, fine. Great. Yeah. Right. Now everybody's like, wow, Tyler's really clever. Yeah.
You need to get some Flex Seal.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but back to the whole Joe Rogan thing. Spotify buys Joe Rogan, essentially. That's a hot commodity. I'm just going to buy him. Yeah. 200 million. You know, and they
exclusive.
Bought
exclusive.
Yeah, exclusive. And they bought Neil Young for $100 million. So that's who has more pool?
What the crap? Yeah. Neil Young, $100 million?
Yeah. $100 million for your collection of music.
Name one song. Yeah. Anybody in the world.
I think
Neil Young, name one of your songs.
Ooh, I think the music collection was exactly 67 cents. It was the rights and like all the copyright and other publishers they had to like buy out. Right. You know, that's what got to 100,000.
Like Neil Young doesn't actually exist as a human being anymore. Yeah, he's just a subsidiary of Spotify.
Yeah, exactly.
He's actually the artist formerly known as Neil Young right now.
Spotify Young. Changed his name. And everything.
He's net old now.
Yeah. So Joe Rogan spreading a ton of disinformation about COVID and this and that you got to be taking those horse pills and whatnot and all this stuff. And conspiracy theories about ever since he started talking about those, what are they? Monoclonal
antibodies?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He started talking about those and now it's hard to get them. Like, no kidding. You got 130,000 million listeners every week. They're going to buy them up.
You know? That's good. That means people are using them.
Yeah.
The whole idea is you get COVID, you take the monoclonal antibody, and it reduces the severity of the disease. Mm-hmm. Ideally, keeps you out of the hospital. Mm-hmm. You know, so if people and lots of people still getting COVID, you know, so if you get them, and you heard from Joe Rogan that maybe I'll take monoclonal antibodies, which are like recommended by the CDC and all those people. Yeah, yeah, it's not like the ivermectin stuff. Like this is legitimate, you know.
But he's got the conspiracy that, like, since I started talking, they want people to be dying, essentially. Like, in case he can't get them anymore. It's
has he been saying
it's called
that?
Demand. Not that.
Yeah.
Not that on the nose. He's never that on the nose unless he has Alex Jones in studio.
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, that, could be.
Yeah.
All kinds of disinformation. So, 200... Exactly, I guess 200 scientists. That's all there are. 200 scientists. Like, who are these scientists?
Why not 201?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we are the 200 strong.
Stop.
Yeah.
Stop right there.
Didn't you
no
watch
more
the
scientists.
Movie?
Yeah,
yeah.
And they, where's your podcast there?
Yeah,
scientists
exactly.
with 200 million viewers, subscribers.
And it's like 200 scientists versus one Joe Rogan.
Yeah. He's like, I'll kick all their asses.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
one by one. And
I don't even like Joe Rogan.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I do more. I like him more the more we talk about this whole thing.
Yeah,
that's funny.
I like him more not canceled. You know, like nobody should be canceled. And I agree. I think he's uncancelable. What except, I could think is Spotify is like, we cut him off.
Chill,
and then
bro.
He goes back to having to advertise fleshlights and stuff like that.
Well, you already mentioned he already had to kind of apologize for something he said.
Yeah, for that. So
for, Spotify,
for the 200,
right?
For the 200, that was during the whole 200 scientists. At Thermopylae, and he had to apologize for that. I didn't read the apology or anything. I was just like, wow, really? He has to apologize? You didn't have to do that in the basement.
See, I didn't listen to it, and I'm like you. Mm-hmm. I got some of Joe Rogan's stuff early when Spotify took him, and the first time I had to listen to 8 minutes worth of commercials just to get to his opening, in which then he started doing commercials.
Yeah,
I was like, no, bro, ain't happening. So,
I've been listening so long, except for some random clips on YouTube.
That's all I get now is random clips off Instagram.
Yeah.
I've always heard the rule of Rogan is like one third of his podcast, everybody will enjoy.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
There's one third of his podcast. He's got something for everybody kind of thing.
Right.
But that also means the average person, two thirds of what you hear on there, you're going to hate. You know.
Tell you what's impressive about the podcast is that it's live.
Yeah.
You know, there's no editing. There's no big cuts out of just the completed episode, and you can listen to it live.
Gotcha.
Which is pretty, I mean, that's, I guess, ballsy a little bit, I suppose, considering some of the people that he has on there and whatnot. But again, like, so much has been said on there.
Yeah.
That, like, risky jokes or controversial opinions.
He got Elon Musk fired from his presidency.
Yeah.
Stupid idiot.
Stupid Elon Musk. Can I? Oh, I should read that that headline I saw today. You know, what was it? The headline was Elon Musk about to get much richer. And then the first sentence was, the start of 2022 has been pretty hard on the world's richest man, you know, but he's about to make some more money.
So then, of course, it goes to, like, you know, Christmas time sales. You think of, you're like, every year sales are up, but the sales average is down from last year on the amount they were up from last year before they got become last year. Yeah. Now it's this year up higher from the last year's down marker.
So pretty hard.
Yeah, it was rough. Yeah, it was billionaires. Rough
on billionaires.
I mean, the thing is, he, as far as market share goes, he's got less than 1% of the U.S. market, but somehow still manages, Tesla still manages to be worth more than all of the other car manufacturers combined.
That's true.
You know, and I don't, that's the Elon Musk factor. We got the Joe Rogan factor, you know, copyrighted.
I didn't know exactly how he, like, made his, how he chose to make his money. Like, if you got a fat paycheck and stuff, that's how you get out of paying taxes as a billionaire. You take no paycheck. He doesn't take any paycheck. He just takes out, like, extremely low or no interest loans, like, against his stock, and uses that, puts it up, which is non-taxable.
Right.
And then uses that to live on.
That's crazy.
That's insanity.
Yeah. Now, it could be taxed if it was ever sold, but not going to sell it, obviously.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's crazy. No, I don't need a paycheck. I'm good. Like, that's weird.
Do you not see all the donations Elon Musk makes to the Foundation for the Advancement of Elon Musk?
Yeah. AFEM?
Yeah.
It's like the human fund, you know. But.
So whatever you decide, Joe Brogan or not, I think he'll be good.
Yeah, and it's so. It's this particular culture, and I hate to call cancel culture a culture because I think we're all associated with it. You know, the left has their PC trigger words. So does the right. You know, last thing you ever want to do is go up to a country boy around here and be like, "Oh, that AR-15 you got, that's a pretty nice assault rifle."
Yeah.
Excuse me, this is a semi-automatic, magazine-fed, military-style hunting rifle.
Yeah,
like, that's for killing people. For assaulting people. You know, assault rifle. Let's just call it. Yeah, come on.
But we love
call
our
spade
assault
a spade here, buddy. Yeah. So we're all prone to it. I hate to call it a culture, but it's just, there is this group, the Twitter mob. We've talked about it before. It's such an outsized voice. You know, two people sound like 200 people on there times however many.
Right.
To try to cancel Joe Rogan when he's also, man, he is a voice that there's a lot of maybe radicalized ears or there's a lot of young men who are particularly vulnerable to crazy opinions and thoughts. Yeah. 'Cause I was one of them and I could have been there, you know. He's a voice to a group that no other that these people who don't like Joe Rogan, they have no voice for these people.
No.
They could use his podcast as a platform to actually reach. Instead of canceling him, he's a guy you can work with. All right, Joe Rogan, at the end of the day, he's not an idiot, you know.
And he's had plenty of people on that have the opposite opinion and this and that. And it's open, man. It's
and
open.
He's a guy that stands to be corrected.
Yeah.
If you go out there and give a good, if you can give a better case than he will, he'll, you know, he's humble enough to you know, that's where I see, like, this is just another example, like Dr. Fauci not going on Fox News because he's all sad because Fox News talks bad about him. Man, get over it. It's your job, okay? If you ain't got the balls to go on Fox News and talk about why people should get the vaccine, follow the guidelines, you shouldn't have your job anymore.
Yeah.
All right?
The more elusive you are, and the less believable you are to the people that, you know, it's exactly right. Lots of Democratic people could be going on Fox News to help the image instead of just the punching bags they bring on there.
Yeah, sweaty, bald, old guy.
Yeah. And they're up against, you know, Tucker Carlson. Or something, you know, make Tucker face at him the whole time.
He's got a great wig. He's just vibrant looking on screen, you know. So, like Joe Rogan, man, he just, if these folks can work with him. It's, and the stupid idea that you get rid of him, then all these people that believe all this crazy stuff, they'll just, just to, you know, float away into the ether.
Right. And they'll just follow him or they'll find their new one.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Go back to Alex Jones.
Yeah, that's right. I saw a great meme. Do you guys remember that? What was that? that stupid space movie with Matthew McConaughey. He's like, I'm going to space.
Yeah.
You remember? What is that one? Where he's like, that's the one. And he's like, he's back in time and he's trying to yell at himself through time to not do something.
Yeah, or something.
Yeah, something like that. Oh, I saw that.
It's like wiping the dust off a shelf.
And, yeah.
I'm confused.
I saw that movie clip. I saw that clip in a meme that was like me trying to stop 2011 self from hearing Joe Rogan for the first time. Like, don't do it. You're going to go down a path you don't want to be on,
that's
man.
That's funny.
Yeah. Other cultures that really bother me, weed culture. What happened? Why can't you just smoke a joint in silence like a gentleman?
Exactly.
You know, you got to wear that weed sweater with all the weed leaves on it. And, what do? I smoke weed.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then claim you're getting profiled when you get pulled over. Taken out of line from the cruise ship after you just got back from Jamaica. Like, why are they messing with me? Yeah. You get your fake dreads on.
Maybe it's the tattoo on your neck of a marijuana leaf.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. I don't understand why it has to be a culture. I mean, I'm not going to compare weed to other hard drugs or whatnot, but there's no other culture for any of the other drugs, except for, I guess, beer, craft beer culture.
It's about
the same.
And I'm glad you don't say subculture. Because it used to be a subculture. There used to be that subgroup. It's like, smoke weed?
Exactly.
There's that. Now it's just full-fledged.
Yeah.
You know?
You cool?
Mm-hmm. It's just totally out. And you got to get all the nice paraphernalia.
Yeah.
You know, you got to get this type or that type. Yeah. And, I don't know. The average American is so desperate to seek some individualism, to be different than the next person over. Yeah. We're really just the same. Yeah. We're consumerist. We're addicted to it. It's like I told you from that The Regrettable Century podcast. Mm-hmm. The one thing I really enjoyed them talking about is like, you ask the average person, you know, what?
Don't talk about
tell me about money. Yourself. Yeah, I know. Sorry,
complimentary.
You bleep that out. talk about yourself. And it's like, well, you know, I like this music, or I wear these shoes, and I prefer indica over sativa, or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not you as a person, really. At the end of the day, you know.
I miss the '90s weed when you know what you smoked out of had to be small enough to stash it quickly.
Or throw out a window and be
exactly.
All right.
Yeah. Didn't care. It was only a $15 pipe, where now it's like a whole rig you know what I mean? You got the steam, whatever. Whole dab pen going. Yeah. And I mean,
you
it's $500 just to get started smoking weed.
Yeah. You can't even do it. Like, you go to a house anymore, you want to smoke? Yeah, sure. And they're pulling out all these tools and apparatus. And
do I hang from that?
Yeah.
It's just weed, man.
You want to smoke? Okay. The burner, propane
like
torch.
Not meth, bro.
I was good.
Old life.
Yeah, exactly. Used to use 2 pennies to clip a roach together.
Exactly.
That's all I needed.
Exactly.
You know? Everybody with their crazy grinder. I saw the one with the wheel, the crank on it. And I was like, you do the same thing with a fork.
Yeah.
I mean, like a butter knife will do it for you, you know?
Oh,
it's so ridiculous. And yeah. I mean, now you got to throw your $1,500 bong rig out the window because you, whatever reason.
Yeah. So when next time you reach for that pile of Doritos behind it, you knock it over on the ground. You know, like, well, I guess my next tax return will go to that.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Yeah. I did find out recently, though, flying, unless they have the drug dog there with you, they'll just ask, "Is this nicotine or THC?" And you say nicotine, and he's like, "Okay."
Tests it out.
Yeah. Liar.
Guess I'm getting fired now. Yeah.
Drug test for both of us.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Yeah. It's a dub culture, though. I don't like people who I just identify as, you know, what do? You know, I smoke weed. Like, okay, what do you do? Do you write?
Do you
watch anime? Like, what do you? I don't remember.
And there used to be, like, I don't know, like a little, I hate the nonchalance of it nowadays, too, where it's just like, hey, my name's Patrick. I smoke weed.
Right.
You know, exactly. No, man, just keep it to yourself.
Yes.
And if the opportunity arises, well, maybe you do or I do or whatever, like, let it happen naturally, you know? And you don't have to just throw it out there.
I recently made a new friend, and that was, again, so that's like, just to go away from that for a second, making a new friend as an adult male, like, I'm sure it's hard for women too.
Yeah.
Like, but for a man, it's like you risk coming across gay.
Yeah.
I almost get the same feeling as if you like ask a girl out, then you ask a friend out, like kind of butterflies.
Yes.
Yeah. Like,
what's he gonna say?
So I was wondering, I know it's a little weird, you know, in the line at Walmart to ask if you wanna, you know, hang out sometime, you know, get some
You won't ask a girl out that's working at Walmart.
No.
But you ask a dude out that's shopping there?
That's right. And so basically, and we trade numbers, and we were texting a little bit back and forth, and like third text he sent me, he's like, hey, man, do you smoke? You know, like, oh, it's just so out there. Yeah. It used to have to be like, you know, you'd hang out with them for a while before you could even be like, so you do you drink? Person, you know, like, right. You mind if I, you know?
You know, and if he's just like, well, it's a weed household, so, you know, I need to prepare you for it. You know, maybe not be like that. And if you're going to invite somebody over to enjoy a hobby together, you can just sneak out back real, hey, man, I'm going to go have a quick smoke break, or I got to go do that.
Exactly.
And do this or that. And you go do this or that.
Yeah.
Come back. Nobody has to be any the wiser.
Sweep all the weed ash off your table. It's not a big deal, you know? Like, put your...
Could take all my Bob Marley posters down now, I guess. What am I going to do with my black lights?
Yeah, that's right. That one fuzzy mushroom poster from Spencer's Gifts that the stoners had in high school.
I knew a house that had like 3 or 4 of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Whoa, man, looks cool under the black light for 2 seconds.
And yeah.
Can you turn the lights back on? It's creepy.
It's kind of weird. No, and it's just so casual now. It's so casual, and the way it's just being kicked and thrown around and stuff. And I'm like, I can't help but think some of it is appealing to children a little bit, you know, with the flavors and this and that. Like, I don't think they should make weed gummies, you know, like edibles. Yes. But the gummy that's like, you know, like you go to anybody's house now and be like, you know, I wouldn't eat that.
Don't
like,
eat that gummy.
Oh, oh, shit, that gets me high. Like, it's gummies, you know, like
it's chewing gum.
Exactly.
Come on, man.
So Tommy Chong is partnering with Starburst now?
Yeah,
can't even eat a Starburst without, you know.
If you wanted to eat weed back in the day, you used to get shitty, like, burnt brownies from somebody who has zero baking skill. They know how to just make the weed butter.
Right.
But they don't know how to actually, how much to use in this.
Or the ones that just poured in a whole bunch of, like, flour, weed, the flour, the actual ground up flour, and then you're like biting into, like, you're getting pieces of weed in your teeth. Yeah.
You pull a branch out of your mouth.
You couldn't have squeezed this into some butter or something.
Yeah, no, it's a stupid culture, in my opinion. I'm not saying anything bad about the actual substance, just the people that super identify with it.
And that's anything, I think.
Yeah, that's so true.
I mean,
so
there's
true.
People that will not make it 30 miles outside of their home without stopping at a Starbucks or a Dunkin' Donuts. Mm-hmm. I mean,
coffee culture.
Right.
I remember when I was working at a dealership in Arizona, the big one out there, apart from like, cause Starbucks was like hack. And, you know, you had to go to Dutch Brothers. I don't know if you guys ever heard of it.
Yeah,
seemed like a lesser, but still a chain. And, I remember it was like, oh, yeah, we're going out to Dutch Brothers and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, okay. And they come up, well, like, they're taking orders and whatnot. And they go, what's your Dutch? I remember being asked that, like, coffee.
God, nah, I'm straight, dude.
Yeah. It's cool, man.
That can mean many things today, too.
Yeah.
I'm straight.
Yeah, but I just remember being like, what's your Dutch? Like,
don't, man.
I hate you.
And maybe that's, I'm sure they're forced to say it. You know, that's the thing. It's like during the training, it's like, you got to add, not coffee. We don't sell coffee here. No. We sell Dutch.
This varieties of Dutch. This was a Dutch Brothers fan. This wasn't at the place.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah. It was like this girl going through. The receptionist at the place was taking everybody's order and asked me, what's your Dutch, bruh? You know?
You didn't just punch him right in the face?
Yeah. if it was a guy, I would have.
Yes.
Yeah. But it's stupid. Yeah, beer culture and hipstery clothes. And
and everything. Is as you were mentioning,
gun culture.
That was one I was going to mention. Is like, now you don't just dabble, you don't just dip your toe into firearms. Now you got to have this and this and that and that and all these man jewelry. Oh, you fill out your class 3 firearm paperwork. Mm-hmm. We got to do, you know, this. It's ridiculous. It's all just about spending money, which we all have too much of, apparently.
Yeah,
increased taxes is what I say.
Thanks to GameStop.
Yeah, that's right.
But like,
they got it.
I know I've mentioned before, woodworking is like to me, it's a hobby. It's a it's like one of the oldest things. The first thing like anybody ever did was pick up a stick and gnaw on it a little bit to sharpen it, you know, so they could stab a lizard and eat it. You know, that's woodworking. All right, and it like go online and try to read
an article about, like, you know, I'm interested in working wood, you know? I mean, yeah, you get ready to take out a $20,000 loan for all the name brand high-end equipment when you know what you need is a stick and preferably a knife. Like, I said, don't use your teeth. Dentistry is very expensive. So just a knife and a piece of wood, that's how you start in woodworking. And you work your way up. You don't, you know, and now this is like, you want to get into the hobby? Well, get ready to make Queen Anne tables and drop leaf tables and, you know, build your own armoire. No, man, just start with like a little birdhouse, all right? That way you also realize, I just naturally suck at this, okay?
Yeah.
Or
it's hard work, I just don't like it. So thank goodness I didn't just spend thousands of dollars for the entry-level hobby, you know?
43 things you need before you start woodworking.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, the Coach tool belt is good, but you should really go with the Gucci tool belt that comes with extra, you know?
You look at camping. That's another one. Oh, dude, you need this, this, and this. Dude, you just add a little food to not starve to death in that period of time. Some water and a tarp, all right, is all, you know?
Keep you warm,
It's a good place to start, you get a new hipstery, you know, guys just getting into it, fully geared with all the new tags hanging off everything. Oh, shit, you know? It goes with all cultures, and especially the guns, man. I think you go down a bad path sometimes with those, like that 5.11 tactical gear.
Oh, yeah.
Tactical dude wipes. And, like, you get everything's tactical now. I saw a tactical baby diaper carrier, like you take this tactical baby bag with you, and it holds your Glock, and the diapers, and
baby crab pulls the Glock out of it.
Exactly.
I'm gonna steal one of your jokes. It's like you get the tactical underwear that you can hide a pistol where your cock should be.
That's right. Did I say that? Okay, I don't remember that.
I'm gonna credit you for it.
Hey, I'll take it.
You've been harping on 5.11 for a while, bro. Longer than you remember, I guess.
I remember there was this guy at the dealership I worked at, and when he was working, he never wore it, but he always, whenever he came in on his day off, he was all decked out in 5.11 gear, you know, but he always, at work, he always wore khakis, so we were like his tactical khaki, or his tacticals, or what do I call them? His tacticals, that's what he said, tacticals. Yeah.
His tackies.
Yeah, so your pen can go here, your Glock right here, you know?
Yeah.
And then he also had tactical seat covers that had like canvas pouches on the seat covers of his truck. Like, what are you holding? I was like, what do you got in there? Like, oh, nothing. I mean, it's just tactical.
Gum. I need it.
Extra magazines.
Exactly.
Some change in that one, I guess. I saw it for about like 6-7 years. Either me or a buddy, we kind of switched back and forth our places. We hosted like regular gun offs, which was just it was like a cook off, but with guns. We just like shoot bottles and shoot. You bring whatever you want, and we'd shoot it. You know,
a gun circle jerk.
Absolutely. Yeah. You just a bunch of dudes drinking and shooting guns. You know what could possibly go wrong? But when the first couple of years, it was just like, oh, I got my granddad's 22. You know, you bring your bolt action rifle that you got for a couple $100, just whatever you got, you bring it. And I saw as it evolved into the culture where everybody's like, they wouldn't dare bring that stuff now. You know, people like taking out a loan before the gun off, so they go buy a super nice gun to bring that they had
Vector.
Shot.
Never.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and exactly. They go shoot it and they suck at it, or it's a crappy gun.
Crappy guns. Yes. When I look at the new stuff, it looks like just such mass-produced
mil-spec
garbage.
Is a term that's thrown, it's just bandied about very loosely, when mil-spec literally means lowest bidder. All right, the government is required to get the lowest bidder. And when it comes to military specifications, it's just crappy enough not to suck too much to give the soldiers like out there. So it's crappy. Yeah. All right, ask any soldier who's been in the military. Yeah. All the shit they use is junk. It's just junk. You know, they have to weld car doors off of rocky vehicles onto their Humvees just to add a little bit of extra armor to them, you know?
Yeah.
And then your son's in the Marine Corps. Ask him. I mean, you always hear about the Marine Corps. It's like everything that the Army's wore out, they give to the Marine Corps. To use, you know,
that's crazy.
Or the Navy's worn out. Yep.
Oh yeah, like, sure. You always read in Germany when they, you know, the 6 years they fought in World War II, they always gave their crappiest, worst vehicles to their most experienced soldiers because they're the ones who are gonna make the
most out of it.
Rookies. Yeah. You give them the best stuff because maybe they'll last a little bit longer that way. You know,
last time we went to the gun store,
pawn shop.
Pawn shop. Looking at it, some of these mil spec stuff, it just looked like plastic stuff comes apart in like three pieces, you know, and then it just, and it stood right next to you know, a 60-year-old bolt-action rifle or something that just looks way cooler, in my opinion.
Right. And probably much more reliable.
Yeah, yeah.
Like actually has some bodies on it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah,
that's why I love the gunsmith at our local pawn shop. He's like one eye. You know, he's just. I mean, he looks like Solid Snake for one. You know, in retirement. Well, but
like, how'd you lose that eye, bro? A bee stung it.
I didn't
change that story.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe not the best advertisement. Yeah. Right. You know, yeah, this is not BB guns. He's
lost it in the war.
Yeah, lost cake war. Yeah, watching cake
it was
war.
Food fight, but you know,
airsoft battle. That's a whole other culture.
Is a sickening one, too.
People will pay more for airsoft rifles than what for one that looks like an AR-15 than what an actual AR-15 will go
just
for.
Buy but that. True. Shoot each other up with them.
Yeah,
that's true.
But I think that's why they can sell them more. It's like, well, you can shoot somebody and they won't die. They suck. I pay more because they suck then.
Yeah. But then they're trying out their frog slides and their frog jumps or whatever they call it, tactical maneuvers and whatnot.
Yeah,
and looking up all these flank tactics and stuff. Yeah. It's like, dude, you don't play war. You're not playing at war right now.
Or join the military.
Yeah.
You know, they could use some bodies.
Yeah, exactly.
But I love this gunsmith here because he's just a traditional, like he can take his eye and tell you if something's good or not. And he, you know, we were talking about it the other day, is just so much of this junk. He's got like bullpup shotguns, magazine fed shotguns, all this tactic crap. And you look at it, he said this stuff just sells. Like, we can't keep it on the shelf. They just like,
because it looks like military.
Yeah. You see, it's 75% plastic and made in Turkey.
It
does not. First time you use it, the damn thing jams or something. Yeah.
And with all of this, new gun, social livelihood people have, there's tons of, what do you call them, casuals now.
Yeah.
They're coming into the ownership of gun game, and those casuals are buying what you're talking about up left and right.
Yes. Yeah.
Just to have something in their safe.
Yeah. And I'm trying to imagine, like, take the most basic hipster you could think of, and like, but now he's into gun culture.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he grabs like a big old like dirty hairy gun, shoots it in the barrel of it hits him right between the eyes.
Yeah. Breaks his glasses.
Yeah. Then fires again, and he almost shoots himself in the head.
Yeah.
Let's go out and shoot Starbucks cups.
Or craft beer bottles.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, it's just tone it down, folks.
Yeah.
Is all right, because all you're doing is you're getting sucked into it. It's not a conspiracy. It's just the way things are.
Mm-hmm.
Is you're just getting sucked into advertising, really.
Yeah.
You're just spending your money on crap that's not worth it. And certain things, it is certainly true when it comes to guns, you get what you pay for. So don't be looking for the flashy. Look for reliable. And that comes with it when you're looking for a car or whatever. I mean, a little sense about these things. At the end of the day, you may think that gun looks super crazy. You take it to the gun range, and you might have one guy or something come up there and who's just a jerk off like you are. And it's like, oh, man, can I touch it? That's so awesome. Yeah. But everybody else there who's really serious about the craft or whatever, man, they're looking at you like you're a goof. All right. You're nothing but a schmuck to them. Yeah.
We went like the beer culture. Like I'm not gonna lie. I do enjoy a craft beer, but it's like to the point I don't get them. Like I'm not into the culture that much, And we went to that beer convention. We're not gonna tell the story. We've told it before, I think, a couple times on the podcast. But like, go to the beer convention, and again, it wasn't sold to us as that. It was sold to us like open bar, drinks and beer. Let's all try some beer.
As much as you can for $20. Well, and I thought, I'm the type of man. I'll get my money's worth and then some for that.
Yeah,
challenge accepted.
Yeah, I have cost Chinese buffets quite a few dollars in my past, but when we get there and it's all just ridiculous raspberry beers and stuff, and like you got a Miller Lite
shot glasses.
Yeah, it was the top of a Pepto Bismol thing.
That's what they gave
you.
Measure out exactly 1 ounce of beer,
and they're snubbing the best tasting beer at the place.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Nobody was at the Sierra Nevada because that was too mainstream. Yeah. So we just stood there.
It's
and
in
got
stores.
Drunk
oh my
on
gosh.
It. Yeah, yeah.
And those were two guys. Like sometimes I feel like with certain when I talk about being a liberal, I feel like I've lost touch with that. Here's
liberalism,
a couple of guys who worked for Sierra Nevada who at one point thought that they were on the avant-garde of craft beer and of that culture, and now just wishy-washed straight into oblivion and irrelevancy because there's not enough chocolate herbs infused in their beer.
Yeah,
They're exactly. Like, yeah, these beer snobs, they're like metalheads who reject Children of Bodom, even though that's what got you started yeah. on it, all right? You
that's
don't
right.
forget. Lamb of God, right. okay, you remember?
That was one.
Flashbacks. Like,
used to throw out Children of Bodom like it was yeah. like, oh, man, you had to yes. dig deep into Scandinavian metal to find yeah, them. Absolutely. Nah, dude, that's the Backstreet Boys.
Yeah, remember yeah, Lords yeah, exactly. of Acid?
Lords of Acid.
Did you ever hear Lords of Acid? That was
Lords of Acid.
That was the DJ trip that I went on a long time. Trip okay. I went on a long time ago. Yeah. Lords of Acid.
Lords pretty, of Acid. Pretty
good. Be like, I love Gorgoroth. Like, pff, casual.
Yeah. yeah. Wow. Okay. It played out.
Exactly.
yeah. I don't mean to spring this one on you. I don't know how much you've thought about it, but another culture, this old homes fetishizing this old stuff, like, you know what, let's just call it old stuff in general,
like historical society type stuff.
I'm trying to think of, like, you know, I really like getting the old rusty tools and stuff. Yep. Like, they make
that's
new
the
stuff.
Backbone
it's
of
better.
Our economy here in,
right
in
right.
Southwest Arkansas anyways.
Right, old doesn't mean good, you know.
Right.
Usually new, even Chinese made, barely thrown together stuff is probably going to perform better than the old stuff. The only thing, maybe cars, car parts and whatnot, you know,
yeah.
you get, you know, some of the older original stuff and feel a carburetor.
I was
nice going to
say,
heavy,
especially,
you know?
If you're relying on digital.
Yeah.
If there's a digital aspect of that vehicle or that whatever, mm-hmm. the newer the better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because the newer brains are going to be working better.
Oh, absolutely. Right. The vehicles are smarter, more efficient,
yeah.
more horsepower.
But if you're going to carburetors,
yeah.
the older the better.
The older yes. the better.
Yeah. Hey, that's a very good rule of thumb. Yeah, absolutely.
Or homes.
Yeah.
Homes.
Yeah.
Homes.
So this is something I kind of got caught on. I've been reading a lot about why housing prices are so high right now and why this market is so inflated. And one of the things I just never really put two and two together in my own brain, and this was a piece from the Atlantic. I'd suggest anybody a subscription go. No, nobody listens. But you get like one free article a month, so take your free article, go read
David
this
from
damn,
that liberal cuck.
Yeah, it put me onto a Bloomberg article that was really good that explained a little bit more of this. But is that one of the big reasons they're saying is because Americans fetishize old homes? Is that where? In most other countries, and Japan is the prime example, they, after about 30 years, they'll tear a house down. Like,
yeah.
they build houses probably no different than we do, but they also, whereas we hold on to them for 100 years, you know, they, after 30 years, is like, okay, we could spend as much as a house is worth to rehabilitate, do a massive rehabilitation of it, or we just tear it down and make like what you're seeing more and more of in the United States is the 5-over-1
right.
style apartment complex where you have
yeah.
your first one's either a carport or I guess that'd be more like your
townhouses?
Or? No, there's a name for them. Mm. And they're real big in like San Francisco and stuff. Mm.
Shotgun houses? Matter.
Yeah, no. Are you talking about like the cookie cutter houses?
Like Full House houses.
Oh yeah.
Oh
no.
Yeah, yeah.
Even getting away from that, because most people still, as much as the American dream is, everybody gets to have a 2,500 square foot home. Most Americans just can't afford it. These the 5-over-1 is generally like the first floor is a. Is a like a store, a Starbucks mm-hmm. or Chipotle's,
yeah. Yeah.
you know,
yeah, yeah.
and then it's got five apartments
right.
over gotcha. It. A very singular, you see them, they're in Texas, they're everywhere
yeah.
right now. Sometimes they're donut shaped, you know, in effect. So you can take one piece of property that maybe had four homes and now you can put 200 or 300
right.
homes on them. And a lot of this was revolutionized by like fire retardants being built into lumber. Like beforehand, you would have to use concrete or steel or something to be able to build that high mm-hmm. Because of the fire hazard or whatever. You can't have a 5-story building all made of wood because if it goes up, everybody is going to die,
yeah.
you know, in it. But then the fire retardant lumber bypassed those concerns or whatever. That's all a long story. But in effect, it's that other countries and specifically like Japan, they say like 87% of Japan's home market is new homes. In the United States, it's 11%.
Wow.
Because we hold on to these old homes that are drafty, they're
yeah.
inefficient, they're fire hazards, they're full of asbestos,
yeah.
they got lead pipes. I mean, they burn down
home.
Left and right.
Here's this drafty tinderbox.
That's right. Yeah. And we'd be seeing a lot of these places like in America that have been grandfathered in into more updated building codes, and they're burning down right now. We saw
yeah.
just the other day,
like in there was one in Philadelphia, New York City. I mean, we're talking like dozens and dozens of people killed in apartment fires in just the last few weeks because of all the shoddy housing out there. Because we keep these things until they literally fall down or burn down into
but
a pile of ash.
But yeah, it's quaint.
Yeah,
look,
right.
There's a hole in the floorboards where the previous owner fell through.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll charge you, you know, that does add a few thousand dollars value to the house.
Yeah.
Those creaks are nostalgia.
Yeah, exactly.
And it is something, I mean, I can understand you want to hold on to your history, your legacy of your area or whatever. And sometimes the older homes, they can be very attractive on the outside, but on the inside, they're kind of just rat infested death pits, you know? Yeah. I see one very, very highly respected, very, very much liked the guy. I mean, he had to pour in many times what the value of his home is because he bought like some old style, like a craftsman style homes, very commonly in the 30s or 40s. The house is like 100 years old. Yeah. I mean, it took hundreds of thousands of dollars to renovate it. It is not worth that. I mean, the guy, he built his own coffin, really, because he'll never be able to sell it for what he's put into it.
Like, imagine what the wiring looks like in some of those older homes. That no doubt. Like, one person cracks into it, like you get an electrician to maybe put some new plugs or something. They're like, you got to change all this. They're still using that with that lead base. Lots of homes still have like lead or some sort of material that they're using for that's like known to just go.
Yeah, you know? There was like a mesh. I forgot what its kind, what is exactly was made out of, but there was a very flammable version.
Yeah.
And you know, those old homes, mine still has a couple of the outlets that only have two.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and then now what are you doing? Because everyone's got a three prong these days. Well, what are you doing? You're bypassing it.
Yeah.
Anytime you bypass a ground, you're setting yourself up.
But it just keeps you from having to cut that third one off of the actual plug, you know? So, I mean, that's the time saver for sure. But I helped somebody the other day do a little electrical work, just switch some light switches and replaced a ceiling fan that wasn't working. When I got in there, I was like, dude, there ain't nobody alive who knows how to do the electrical work on a building like this anymore.
Glass tubing on the whole stuff. Yeah.
No
yeah.
grounding. This was before grounding was invented.
Right.
You know?
Can you imagine you get your new Xbox, you go home with it like, God, I don't have the three plug. Just chop off that ground.
You plug it in, it blows up.
Yeah.
Xbox like overload. Yeah. Just melts down.
You just buy the third one and it's just not grounded. At first, a couple days, you're like, it's kind of scary. It's not grounded or what? And then you just forget about it until your house explodes.
Exactly. Yeah.
You buy the little adapter. There goes two to three. That fixes it.
You buy the new fridge Xbox and don't even have enough power in a whole circuit to run. You're like, I need two breakers on this one Xbox, please.
Yeah. But nowadays, with the culture of old homes, you know, that's quaint that you charge extra for that. Yeah. Well, it's all original from the 1940s, you know?
It was built by Jerry Roundtree's grandfather.
If it was built before the Civil Rights Movement, all right?
Yeah, yeah.
You shouldn't buy it.
Because nowadays, I'm sure there's just ways you just like, you're like wall. Like it's, I get it. It's cookie cutter, maybe not the greatest, but like, you know, the way it houses protects from bugs and stuff, and then like the wiring and everything. Like the place I'm living in right now was like just built, and I can feel it when I'm in it. You know, there's not an old nothing in there. You know, everything feels new, and I like that. You know,
yeah, and it's very efficient. And you look at yours. There's no cracks where the wall meets the sea, or there's no. There's, you know, where you
no
see
foundation settling yet or
no, yes. Right. And their new homes are built pest proof.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm trying to say. There's no cracks anywhere for pests to get inside of, you know, which is very good because especially you live in a place like this where it's very warm and then it gets very cold. The bugs and pests are going to get inside your house. Yeah. It's just you live in Hawaii. That's one of the things I've always heard that you're going to have to get used to is you're always going to have lizards and giant cockroaches in your house because they just all the houses are old and they're everywhere down there. Well, we got a little bit of that too, but we also have winter. So now all the bugs that are cool outside most of the time, now they want inside your place, you know? So you have all these drafty homes that are super inefficient, you know, you got an older home. It's just easier to keep sticking more window AC units than it is to upgrade the AC unit because it may not even have vents going to everywhere.
Duct work.
Yeah, you have to have ductwork. Yeah. Right.
Perhaps this new kind of cookie cutter style will prevent us because they're efficient and good, but they're nothing special.
Yeah.
So in 20 years, nobody's going to be like, oh, you know, this beautiful with the cathedral. Yeah, exactly. It doesn't have that. Yeah. So
tear it down,
yep. put another one up. So,
and it's just as cheap.
Exactly.
As it would be to rehabilitate it after 30 years. You know?
So while my place, I like it, I'm certain in 20 years it'll be sagging, foundation, things getting messed up. Yeah, knock it over, build a new one, and there's nothing special about it. So whatever.
And you see, with by having a glut of new homes, you cause the housing market to it's the prices settle down. That's why Tokyo is considered the most affordable big city in the world to live in, because everything that you can buy is brand new. That's all it is. You're not having to vie for one brand new home out of 100 when all the other ones are just old crappy ones, you know, that you're going to have to put a lot of work or whatever into.
That are expensive too.
That are absolutely. Yeah.
So let the old homes continue being as expensive as the sentimental or value looking wise, and let's just build up those homes that are getting built next to our sister's place. It's unbelievable how quickly it happens, like in these just efficient style apartment almost.
And they're
style
nice.
Highs.
They look they're nice, you know.
Very nice.
Yeah,
you
anybody
know?
Would be, any middle class person could be proud of one of those homes. They're spacious rooms. Yeah. They're modernly designed and everything.
Perhaps, no cathedral ceilings, but that frees up more to go to like a nicer, you know, maybe fake, but like kind of marble looking countertop. A nice this to go in there. Cabinets that are looking half decent that aren't, you know. Yeah. Whatever.
New non-leaded water pipes.
Yeah, and, hey.
No popcorn ceiling that's infested with asbestos. Like if you're listening and your house has popcorn ceiling, you shouldn't be living in it. You know, and I do. My house is nothing but popcorn ceiling, and that is literally the popcorn ceiling is 99% chance that it's asbestos in there. So you're not even supposed to paint the ceiling, you know?
It crumbles and falls down into your eyes and mouth.
Eye cancer instantly.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
I just want to say there's a lot of people who maybe think that these 5-over-1s, they're just utilitarian. Maybe they do not look like Soviet-style apartment complexes. Just see, they just made of concrete or whatever. They have nice facades, and they're efficient little things. And they're popping up all over the place, thankfully, to this revolution in building that only happened like in the late 90s, early 2000s. So this is a relatively new thing. These things look nice. They have shopping centers down on the bottom of it with apartments up top. Like one would be very used to seeing in older townhouses, in New York City or something. So you got a commercial thing with a residential, and a lot of this is just purely zoning laws is why you don't see more of this, because you can't mix commercial and residential in places. So you got zoning boards that are just standing in the way of progress. And look, we're also living in a society where fewer people are having kids. They don't need the big home in the suburb. Yeah. They want a house that's close to where they work, maybe in the population center of the town they live in. And these 5-over-1s are the perfect example, or even 10-over-1s or wherever they're going to go from here. And like I said, if you drive through Texas, guaranteed you're going to see a million of them along the way. Sure, they all tend to look the same, but man, you want to talk about efficiency and bringing down prices of new homes, which is what we so desperately need right now.
I wish it just wasn't so greedy and they weren't just stacked on top, like, you know, like literally. Now the 5-over-1s, I get that it's apartment style, so it's going to be like that, right?
Yes.
But these like kind of ones we were just talking about next to my sister's place, it's like 3 feet between each home.
Yeah.
You can barely squeeze through. You have to shimmy through, you know, to get between them. That I don't like as much.
And I recently there's a booming tourist area locally, and a lot of real estate is reeling from that. Mm-hmm. You know, that's high prices. We've talked on the air before about people stopping in and asking if you want to sell your home.
Yeah.
That I saw yesterday, just kind of scanning some of the real estate Facebook pages, I saw a trailer house on, I want to say it was 1.8 or 2.5 acres. It wasn't 3 acres. Maybe it was not even quite 2 acres. $130,000. Yeah. We're not talking about a nice modular home that was, you know, we're talking about a trailer house.
Yeah.
And I remember when Laura and I moved into we refinanced the house. When I moved in to the house we live in now, it was worth $140,000.
Oh, it's double that, I'm sure.
It has to be now, because we have 2.5 acres, so we have more acreage inside the town. We have a nice little house. It's aesthetically pleasing. Yeah. You know, it's not huge.
It's a house anybody can look at and be like, you know, work hard like you guys did, and I can have a house
when
like
was
that.
How old is that house?
It was made in 63. 64.
Right.
It was built in 64, but Laura moved into it 2 years before we got together. Mm. And we looked around at other houses, and I was like, "This, if you like this house is nice. I could live here." She's like, "All right, cool." So we just remortgaged it, put it in both of our names, so I'd have the bill too, obviously.
I love your place. Yeah. Your place is awesome.
But it was $140,000 a decade ago, and now that trailer with on less property, $130,000.
Yeah.
It's crazy. We're going through a refinancing. I had an appraiser come by the other day, and she's like, I'm not going to say $200,000, but you never know. And she's like, I'm usually within $10,000 one way or the other. I'm like, I've spent $97,000 is what I paid for
exactly.
that place.
Yeah.
And she said, that does not count the shop or anything else. That is just the dwelling.
Right.
You know, and I'm like, halfway through renovations, like none completed, just halfway through them. You know?
Could probably have some Texan come through who likes to live next to near. Yeah. Easy. $250 cash.
Yeah. Cash.
You know, take it.
Don't even have to get a bank's approval because they got the money.
Exactly.
Yeah. And she was talking about there's a housing division here in DeQueen that 10 years ago they built, or not even that, maybe she was like 5 years ago, it was just before COVID and all this. She was appraising the houses for about $80,000 to $90,000 each. She said they're building the exact same homes now and adding them to another part of this particular division. Those homes, same homes, same square footage, mm-hmm. same design, same landscaping, everything else, are appraising for $200,000, which
it's weird how that works.
That's just to show there's, because the housing market is so speculative.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's not like there's tangible things there, you know, that have really increased the value. It's just that's where the market is going.
And as my dad always said, they ain't making new land.
That's right. You know, and that's absolutely a good case. But that also that ties back into we're using a lot of our land so inefficiently. Do you think?
Right.
Not that you would. You love your house, and you've talked about this. Where probably y'all are going to die in that house.
Probably,
you know,
yeah.
and you should be proud. It is a great place. But that 2.5 acres, do you think how many apartments you could stick on that 2.5 acres to drop down to open up the housing market? And like I said, I'm not saying that you should. And while, yes, it sounds on a theoretical level, it sounds like the right thing to do. Practically, that's where you run into NIMBYism. Not in my backyard.
Exactly.
You hear 100 people be like, yeah, that's exactly what we need to do. But you don't want to do it at your place.
No.
My little 3 acres, I could have a whole donut of 5-over-1s out there, you know, but I ain't doing it. Because no. I don't.
Yep. Yeah. And Jay Lindley, you are going to die in that house if you don't restructure your get your joists up and sheet metal your stovepipe. All right,
I know, and I want to stress, I'm not saying this is what we should do. This is just things to think about, you know.
Oh, totally.
And they are big debates that our society's not having.
Right,
you know?
Right, yeah. And it's, I mean, if you're, it's just, it kind of sucks to think that if you're in the market for buying a house, 11% of what you're going to be looking at is going to be something that's new.
Yeah.
You know, and otherwise it's going to be buying older homes. And
so if you're looking for a new home, be prepared to spend some money because it's going to be a fortune.
If,
you know?
If you have the connections to get a builder or even a GC, a general contractor, the way to go is to build right now.
See, I hear a lot, like, I had this home built, or I built this home or whatever, blah, blah, blah. I always, like, in my mind, I'm like, oh, man, that's got to be 3 times the price of just buying a home.
It's like a third of the price, actually.
Really?
Yeah, so let's say if I, and we can use, like, 100 per square foot numbers. If I build a house at $150 per square foot, it's going to be probably $300 per square foot when it's done.
Yeah,
the price, right. Or $250, $300 per square foot on the value once
the
it's
appraisal
done.
Once it's done.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So yeah, you can,
rule of thumb I've heard before is you can build a $250,000 house for $125,000. You know,
completed.
Right. But
like, yeah, okay. Beautiful. Yeah, landscape.
You need the land, right?
You need land the land. You need somewhere to live. So at some point, you're probably going to be paying 2 mortgages.
Exactly.
And if you ever talk to anybody who's had their house built? Now, you know, I'm not talking Elon Musk category of people, but anybody, your average person who's had a house built, it has taken years of their lives off because of the stress associated with it. It never is as done as quick as, it's never as cheap as what they're going to tell you. It always, you know, it's always going to be more expensive. It's always going to take longer.
Just in my ignorant mind, you know, I'm like, I had a house built, like, oh, okay.
And I've had 30 something friends that had houses built that accepted jobs across the state. You know what I mean? And now they're having to sell their dream home, which
tailored to them, right?
Exactly. And, which they put this catwalk over here between the two upstairs rooms. Why? Because it's so cute, and we can, you know,
and
what
nobody
mean?
Else,
nobody
is
likes it. Like we're gonna remove that immediately. You know, and they're like, oh my god, my dream home. Yeah. You know, it's. So
we planned on building a two-story shop home, like having a big open layout in the bottom and then having like two bedrooms up top and stuff, like have an open kitchen, open bathroom, you know?
That all sounds horrible.
Well, if you've ever been in one of those, they're pretty cool, actually. I love the big open layout of it, you know, no separation, no walls between your kitchen and your dining room. And your,
Walls. I like separation.
Where they're closing in on you and stuff.
Sleeping next to the fridge while it's making ice.
But the biggest thing that we had designed, because we did like a whole like design layout and stuff. I mean, not like architect quality or whatever, but the biggest thing is we were going to have the utility room in our bedroom. In the bedroom closet was going to be the washing machine and the dryer. So that is the bane of the Massey's is doing laundry.
Oh, it's all the way across the house.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, if it's just in your bedroom and all you got to do is take it out of the dryer, put it on a coat hanger, and it's right there.
You don't even, you just pivot.
You don't even have to have laundry baskets anymore. You can literally just throw your dirty clothes in the washing machine. As soon as it's full, hit start, straight to the dryer, straight to the hang.
My pile of dirty socks next to the bed just wouldn't exist anymore. That was the reason. That was why we were going to build our own house, so we could put the washer and dryer in the closet, bedroom closet.
You shit your britches, you don't even have to wipe. You just take them off.
You don't have to, hide it from your wife.
Yeah.
You can stick it in there and wash them yourself.
Got the tub, a hose right here. All right.
Quick
what
break?
Do you guys think? No.
Oh, are we done?
Okay, yeah, we're done, man. Hey, we've gone
it felt
too
like
long.
Break time.
I know it. Well, we're gonna cut it off here. We've gone too long. All right.
Didn't even get to none of my. No, I'm sorry.
Oh man,
I'm kidding.
We got time.
No, I've pieced them in there. So
all right,
we'll talk about us being not the lack of promotion outside of us.
Ooh.
The next time.
You get teased.
Oh, yeah. We are just
French tickler there.
Yeah.
New adventures.
I mean, we haven't had, we still need a billboard, guys. And I don't even believe in billboards. But
they,
I want
they
my
work,
face
man.
Up on the bill. No, I'm
have you seen the one? We got the electronic billboard east
you
of town.
The Facebook post on
the
that?
One that says, of all the COVID-19 vaccinations, it has like 1 million jab injuries. Like, have you,
what?
Yeah, every like, time you get stabbed with a needle, it's a damn injury. All right, ow. That counts. Anytime you ever go ow is an injury. Okay, so I really don't know what point they were trying to make.
I was thinking like they were trying to say 1 million people like missed and hit their eye with the jab. You know,
don't get root canals. For every 1 million root canals, there's 1 million mouth injuries.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Wait,
absolutely.
It's kind of the that what?
It's the point. Yes.
You don't get a lead ball in your leg and lose it like a silver. That's an injury.
Yeah.
Right?
But yes, we did meet up earlier, and Jay said regrettable is too good. It's bursting the seams of regrettable. Yeah. We have to start spreading it out to something else as well. That's
so we got a few things that we got an iron in the fire is what they say. Yeah. Irons in the fire.
We'll iron it all out. And talk to you about it next time.
Hold on to that.
Okay.
And we're gonna cut it off here. It's already we gone too long.
Really all just right. says promotion.
Yeah.
Promotion. It's
can
spelled
you remember
wrong.
That?
Yeah, I think so. Shut up. It's true, it is.
Oh, shoot.
Promotion.
Yeah, okay. Promotion.
It's not pro. No. Promotions.
There we go. All right. Well, big shout out to everybody sponsoring us. We got Laura Lindley, attorney at law.
You.
We're working on something. Going to get something going with her at some point.
You.
She caught the COVID, though. Yeah. She's doing good, though, right?
Yeah. Is that a violation of HIPAA, though, to announce that on
there? Uh-oh.
Maybe I shouldn't say it.
Oh, yeah. You just... violated a lawyer's HIPAA, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. She caught...
Beep.
I'll beep it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, Mountain Fork Brewery and Hochatown Distilling Company and all of that, Dan. So, And we're looking at doing... There's some stuff in the... Again,
more
irons in the fire.
Things in the works.
Yeah.
I'd say none of the listeners would be interested.
That's right. So, that's right.
Email us if you are. We'll let you know.
Yeah, absolutely. RegrettableJTP@gmail.com. Maybe I should plug the Facebook once in a while instead of the stupid Gmail that we just get spam. And
it's now defunct due to non-usage.
Yeah, exactly.
You hadn't checked it in 60 days.
Activated again. All right. We'll see y'all next week.
Peace.
Goodbye.